Thank you, Larry. I'm sure my mother at one time called me beautiful, but that's probably the last time. But I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. And it is a beautiful day. Beautiful day to draw our minds out of the world and reflect a little bit. I'm going to reflect a couple of weeks ago. Our brother Bob delivered a sermon, and it was a nice, simple message. And it was one of the best sermons I've ever heard my brother Bob deliver. And I was thinking about that, and I thought about that a lot. And I was reflecting upon that and things that have happened in my life, things that have been revealed to me. And we had occasion a week or so ago for Calvin and Glenda to come over to our home, and we had a chance to talk for quite some time. And I had an opportunity to talk to them about some of the revealments that the Lord has made known to me. And as I was driving home last week, it kept coming into my mind, revelation, the things that the Lord has blessed me with. You know, I talked to Calvin and Glenda about some simple testimonies that I've been blessed with, my wife and I. One in particular, I know I've borne this before. In a class some time ago, our brother Tony Grinzik taught a group of people that one of the members of the family was a member of the church and one was not. And at that particular time, I was not. And it was quite a large group, probably anywhere from 6 to 8 couples that would meet. And one of those revelations happened to my wife and I during we were reading some scriptures, and it's out of Luke. And you know the scripture where it talks about giving up your life. And I'd read that many times, and all of a sudden, that light went on. And what was so unique about it is that light went on for my wife and I exactly at the same moment. And we looked up at each other with that astonished look on our faces. I know we looked like a couple of goofballs, but we looked at each other, and we understood that particular scripture exactly at the same time. And I know it was through the Spirit that revealed that particular scripture to us. A small thing. Well, I don't believe it was a small thing. It was a great thing. It's not small because I reflect upon that weekly. I think about when I first started, probably about the same time, maybe a little before, in this Church of Christ. When you first start in, they want to give you a job, right? So they keep you coming. Well, I wasn't a member, and so they made me Sunday school superintendent we all know how that works. And so they made me Sunday school superintendent, and so I would get up, and I confess to you, I was rather lackadaisical about that particular job. I would do it for a year and then be done with it. And I would get up and I would open up my Bible and I would thumb through my Bible and come up with a scripture. And that's about the attitude I had. And week after week after week, it was something out of the Bible. And so I did this, and one morning I got up and I said, you know, it'd be nice. I know what I was thinking. I said, you know, maybe I ought to read something out of the Book of Mormon. You know, I don't want to make them mad. I ought to read something out of the Book of Mormon. And so I thumbed through, and I got to 3 Nephi, 9th chapter. I opened it up, and I said, well, this looks pretty good. That was my attitude. I'll read this. this morning. And so I went to Sunday school that morning with that opened up, all pinned and crossed out, exactly what I was going to read. And opened it up and opened up the service, and I said, I'll read from the Book of Mormon. First time I'd done this. And so I started to read those words out of 3 Nephi, the 9th chapter. And that same thing happened. That light went on, and that revealment came to me that this was the words of Christ. This was Christ speaking. I couldn't hardly finish my reading. The tears came down. It was a revelation. It was my revelation. It was my testimony of the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon. But that's the way the Lord works. Big or small, He reveals things to us every day of our lives. If we look for Him. If we look for Him. Some are great. Some are big. We can't deny them. Most often they're small. And sometimes we ignore them. But they're there. And as I was driving home, I was thinking about these revelations. And I was thinking about... I was classifying revelations and what they meant and what they mean. And I was drawn out to the greatest revelation that you and I will ever receive. And I think most everyone in this building has received that revelation. I want to turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter. And I want you to turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter, starting with the 13th verse. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want to look at that revelation, and that is the greatest revelation that anyone in this room or anyone in this world will ever receive in their life. That Jesus is the Christ. That's why Peter was blessed. Because he received it. This was something that was new. Okay? This idea of a revelation. This idea of something that the Spirit brought to their minds. Especially that Jesus was the Christ. This was the first time that this had ever happened. This had never happened before. This idea that Jesus was the Christ. And upon this, Christ was going to build His kingdom. He did build His kingdom. He did build His church. Upon this very simple revelation. This very simple revealment. And you know, you look at this revealment, and there's several different ways that you can treat this revelation. This revealment. There are different ways that you can go about this when it happens to you. You can ignore it. Yes, you can. You can ignore it. You can reject it. And our people, I'm sorry to say, that do reject it. And Christ spoke about these people in the third chapter of Mark. Starting with the 13th verse, third chapter of Mark. And he goeth up into the mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed that name, that is, the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into a house, and the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, and they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem Thank you, Larry. I'm sure my mother at one time called me beautiful, but that's probably the last time. But I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. And it is a beautiful day. Beautiful day to draw our minds out of the world and reflect a little bit. I'm going to reflect. A couple of weeks ago, our brother Bob delivered a sermon, and it was a nice, simple message. And it was one of the best sermons I've ever heard my brother Bob deliver. And I was thinking about that, and I thought about that a lot. And I was reflecting upon that and things that have happened in my life, things that have been revealed to me. And we had occasion a week or so ago for Calvin and Glenda to come over to our home, and we had a chance to talk for quite some time. And I had an opportunity to talk to them about some of the revealments that the Lord has made known to me. And as I was driving home last week, it kept coming into my mind, revelation, the things that the Lord has blessed me with. You know, I talked to Calvin and Glenda about some simple testimonies that I've been blessed with, my wife and I. One in particular, I know I've borne this before. In a class some time ago, our brother Tony Grinzik taught a group of people that one of the members of the family was a member of the church and one was not. And at that particular time, I was not. And it was quite a large group, probably anywhere from 6 to 8 couples that would meet. And one of those revelations happened to my wife and I during we were reading some scriptures, and it's out of Luke. And you know the scripture where it talks about giving up your life. And I'd read that many times, and all of a sudden, that light went on. And what was so unique about it is that light went on for my wife and I exactly at the same moment. And we looked up at each other with that astonished look on our faces. I know we looked like a couple of goofballs, but we looked at each other, and we understood that particular scripture exactly at the same time. And I know it was through the Spirit that revealed that particular scripture to us. A small thing. Well, I don't believe it was a small thing. It was a great thing. It's not small because I reflect upon that weekly. I think about when I first started, probably about the same time, maybe a little before, in this Church of Christ. When you first start in, they want to give you a job, right? So they keep you coming. Well, I wasn't a member, and so they made me Sunday school superintendent we all know how that works. And so they made me Sunday school superintendent, and so I would get up, and I confess to you, I was rather lackadaisical about that particular job. I would do it for a year and then be done with it. And I would get up and I would open up my Bible and I would thumb through my Bible and come up with a scripture. And that's about the attitude I had. And week after week after week, it was something out of the Bible. And so I did this, and one morning I got up and I said, you know, it'd be nice. I know what I was thinking. I said, you know, maybe I ought to read something out of the Book of Mormon. You know, I don't want to make them mad. I ought to read something out of the Book of Mormon. And so I thumbed through, and I got to 3 Nephi, 9th chapter. I opened it up, and I said, well, this looks pretty good. That was my attitude. I'll read this. this morning. And so I went to Sunday school that morning with that opened up, all pinned and crossed out, exactly what I was going to read. And opened it up and opened up the service, and I said, I'll read from the Book of Mormon. First time I'd done this. And so I started to read those words out of 3 Nephi, the 9th chapter. And that same thing happened. That light went on, and that revealment came to me that this was the words of Christ. This was Christ speaking. I couldn't hardly finish my reading. The tears came down. It was a revelation. It was my revelation. It was my testimony of the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon. But that's the way the Lord works. Big or small, He reveals things to us every day of our lives. If we look for Him. If we look for Him. Some are great. Some are big. We can't deny them. Most often they're small. And sometimes we ignore them. But they're there. And as I was driving home, I was thinking about these revelations. And I was thinking about... I was classifying revelations and what they meant and what they mean. And I was drawn out to the greatest revelation that you and I will ever receive. And I think most everyone in this building has received that revelation. I want to turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter. And I want you to turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter, starting with the 13th verse. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want to look at that revelation, and that is the greatest revelation that anyone in this room or anyone in this world will ever receive in their life. That Jesus is the Christ. That's why Peter was blessed. Because he received it. This was something that was new. Okay? This idea of a revelation. This idea of something that the Spirit brought to their minds. Especially that Jesus was the Christ. This was the first time that this had ever happened. This had never happened before. This idea that Jesus was the Christ. And upon this, Christ was going to build His kingdom. He did build His kingdom. He did build His church. Upon this very simple revelation. This very simple revealment. And you know, you look at this revealment, and there's several different ways that you can treat this revelation. This revealment. There are different ways that you can go about this when it happens to you. You can ignore it. Yes, you can. You can ignore it. You can reject it. And our people, I'm sorry to say, that do reject it. And Christ spoke about these people in the third chapter of Mark. Starting with the 13th verse, third chapter of Mark. And he goeth up into the mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed that name, that is, the sons of thunder, and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into a house, and the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, and they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rises up against himself, he be divided, and he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily, I say unto you, all sin shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. A spirit's going to be with you. Make no mistake about that. A spirit is going to be with you. If you reject that spirit, that revealment that tells you that Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, if you reject that, make no mistake, there will be another spirit to take its place. That is why, if you cast it out, damnation shall be a result. That's one phase. We can reject it, this revelation. And that is the direct result. Another thing you can do with this revelation is you can ignore it. You can ignore it. I was going to say I could have ignored that revelation I had up in front when I read from the Book of Mormon, but I couldn't have ignored that. But it's possible just to ignore that spirit. Don't pay any attention until it passes. If you do that, it'll pass. It'll pass. I've ignored things like that. I've ignored opportunities. And I have suffered from it. not only I have suffered from it, others have suffered from it. We can ignore the revelations of God, and there are consequences. Every time there is a consequence. I want to turn to John, the 10th chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood it. Understood not what the things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man entereth, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. If we or you or whomever choose to ignore Jesus Christ when he knocks, when he sends that revealment, we will suffer consequences. You will. I'm here to testify of that. Not only you. But others. I didn't plan this. I think I'm going to get personal. A personal thing that happened to me, and it was me ignoring. And it was probably, no, it wasn't probably, it was this. I can look back at this particular event and say it was one of the saddest things I have ever done in my life. And it happened with one of my children. It happened on one of my children at a particular church outing. And this particular son, has to be a son, that's all I've got, came to me, and he happened to be about 8, 9, maybe 10 years old. And the Spirit had spoken to him in the evening at a service, and he was overcome with that particular spirit, and he came to Dad for advice. And I gave him horrible advice. I didn't act. I was frightened. I told him to wait. Worst decision I ever made in my life. It hurt me spiritually. It hurt me physically. can't hurt my son for a long period of time. I ignored that spirit. It will harm you. I want to turn another thing. You can accept that spirit. You can receive that spirit. And you can let it go there and not allow that same spirit to convert you. You can do that. That's a possibility. I'm gonna name you approximately five things you can do when that revelation comes to you. And this is one of them. You can accept that revelation and not allow the spirit to convert you. I hope this doesn't sound like double talk or sound strange, but this is a possibility. This is a very real possibility. There are many religious philosophies in the world, and this is one of the biggest differences, I believe, in the Church of Christ and a lot of churches of the world. We believe that you can accept that revelation that Jesus is the Christ and still not be converted. Yes, it's a real possibility. And it goes at odds with some of the religious beliefs in the world. But I want to turn to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Starting with the 20th verse. 22nd chapter of Luke, starting with the 20th verse. Likewise also the cup after supper, pardon me, I'm going to start with the 19th. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, this is my body which is given to you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament, my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves, them being his disciples, his chosen, which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Yes, it is possible. yes, Peter received that revelation that Jesus was the Christ. Peter walked with Jesus Christ for I don't know how long. A couple years, 2 years, 3 years. I don't know how long. He saw all these marvelous things that the Lord was doing, and yet he was not converted. Yet he was not converted. There is a conversion to your soul that needs to take place after baptism, and it is an ongoing thing. It doesn't stop. Have you been converted? Ask yourself that. Are you really ready to be a servant? And not just of Christ, but of me. Are you ready to be my servant? Are you ready to be Jim Gordon's servant? Or whomever? Let me rephrase this. Are you ready to wash my feet? Are you ready to wash my feet? Christ is ready to wash my feet. But are you? Are you above that? Are you above that? That's what it is to be converted. That's our ongoing process. I want you to think about that. We say King of Kings. Christ is King of Kings, yet he is ready to wash my feet. Are you? I can look out here and I can see a lot of people and I can say, yes, they are. Yes, I can. Four. You can accept that revelation and you can become indifferent to it. Over a period of time, you can become indifferent. Now we've had, and I can remember one in particular, Jane Ann's, when she said after she was baptized and she had hands laid upon her that she was ready to go out and convert the world. She was ready to go out and do a marvelous, and she has, a marvelous work. And I dare say each and every one of you that have been baptized and had hands laid upon you felt that same feeling. But over a period of time, do you still have that feeling? Or have you become a little bit indifferent to it? Is it no longer the most important thing in your life? Is it no longer? At that time, it was the most important thing in your life. I have no doubt in my mind. Is it still the most important thing in your life? Or is it a good thing to have and to know and then I'll go on? You know, I'm there, you know. Is it really the most important thing in your life? You know, I'll work on that when it's easy, when it's convenient. I've got work, you know, I've got to work, you know. I've got to work. And you do. But is that feeling all-encompassing to you? I want to turn in the Book of Mormon. I thought I was going to ignore the Book of Mormon again. I'm not going to. I want to turn to page 170 in the Book of Mormon. Starting with the 14th verse. And now behold, my brethren, this is the word which I declare unto you, that many of you have begun to search for gold and for silver and all manner of precious ores, in the which this land, which is a land of promise unto you and to your seed, that abound most plentiful. And a land of providence has smiled upon you most pleasing, that you have obtained many riches. You know, we sang that first song. I haven't sang that song in a long time. America. When I was in grade school, we sang that lots. I mean, I don't know if they still sing that in school or not. But we sang it, and we sing it, and what is the most important thing about this land? And it has plenty of precious ores and plenty of opportunities for us to make it. But what was it founded upon? Just exactly what I'm talking about. The opportunity to serve Jesus Christ. The opportunity to worship Jesus the right way. And all these other things came to play in this land. Precious ores. The land of providence has smiled upon you most pleasingly, and that you have obtained many riches. And because that some of you have obtained more abundantly than your brethren, ye are lifted up in the pride of your hearts and wear stiff necks and high heads because of the costliness of your apparel. And persecute your brethren because that ye suppose you are better than they. And now, my brethren, do you suppose that God justifieth you in this thing? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But he condemneth you. And if ye persist in these things, his judgments must speedily come upon you. Oh, that he would show you that he can pierce you, and with one glance of his eye, he can smite you to the dust. This is the God that we worship. And that he would rid you from this iniquity and abomination. And oh, that ye would listen unto his word, the word of his command, and let not this pride of your hearts destroy your souls. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all. And is that your purpose? Is that why you are working? Is that why I am working? Think about it. Is it? To clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to liberate the captive, to administer relief to the sick and the afflicted. I want you to think about those particular things. And now, my brethren, I have spoken unto you concerning pride, and those of you which have afflicted your neighbors and persecuted him because that ye were proud in your hearts of the things which God hath given to you. What say ye of it? Do ye not suppose that such things are abominable unto him who created all flesh? And the one being is as precious in his sight as the other? And this is the 28th verse. And all flesh is of the dust, and for the selfsame end hath he created them, hath he created you. This is the only reason you are here. That they should keep his commandments and glorify him forever. Is that your primary goal in this life? If it's not, you are indifferent to that spirit. You are indifferent to that spirit if this is not your primary goal. To keep his commandments and glorify. And how do you glorify? Read 24 again. You want to glorify God? And after ye have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches if ye seek them. And ye will seek them for what? For the intent to do good. To clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to liberate the captive, to administer relief to the sick and the afflicted. That's how you glorify God. Do you have that compassion in you? Or do you have a tendency, you can turn back to third, if you want to, into the third chapter of Revelations, and you can read about the Laodiceans. If there is, third chapter of Revelation, you start about the 14th verse and you read through the 22nd. I won't read it. My time is getting away. Are we like the Laodiceans? Yes, we are. If there is a category, if there is a category that we most likely fall in, this is it. And you know, I'm not condemning anyone. The Lord knew this. The Lord knew that we would have this tendency to be exactly like the Laodiceans. We would be lukewarm. Especially me, I have that tendency. You know, I have that tendency. The Lord knew it. What did He do for me? He gave me the Scriptures. He gave me the Scriptures. He gave me the Spirit. He gave me a church to come to that from time to time I can see what it is to be on fire again. I can see from time to time how my priorities line up. Think about it. If you received His Spirit, you were totally converted, would you need this anymore? Would you need this anymore? Would you need Larry to preach to you anymore? No. The Lord knew. The Lord knows how we are. And He provides that we can be there. Is it important to come to church? Yes, it is. It is the utmost important. And I can guarantee you that if you do not come to church, if you do not seek the Lord, if you do not study the Scriptures, if you do not congregate hang around, that doesn't sound right, does it? Be around people who are interested in this gospel, we are going to end up lukewarm if we're not there. How do I avoid that? I'll read my Scriptures. I will go to those study classes. I will receive that revealment, that thing that caused, whoa, I understand that. I'll read that Scripture. The Lord's going to tell me what is important. I will be on fire again. I will be at least warmer than what I am now. And you can do the same thing. That's why we have these Scriptures. Number 5, last one. You can receive this revelation into your heart. You can be baptized. You can receive the Holy Ghost and be converted. I'm going to turn into the Book of Mormon for a closing scriptures. On page 768, read 4. Short scriptures, and this is what it is to be converted. And this is the end product of being converted. And if a man, and if a man or a woman be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, you receive that, you've done all this stuff, there's more. He must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he has nothing. He's lukewarm. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Think about yourself now. Think about yourself as I read these things. Are these qualities that you have, or are these qualities that you are seeking to have? Or are these qualities you think, well, I can't do that. I mean, it's my nature to be angry. It's my nature to lose my temper. It's my nature to be selfish. It's my nature to do these things, to be a little proud. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, if you're not converted, if you are not converted, if you are not converted, ye are nothing. For charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, who is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ. The pure love as Christ loves. Are you ready to wash my feet? Christ is. Are you ready to wash my feet? And it endureth forever. And whoso is proud, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all those who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, servants. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Those are our choices. Those are five choices that we have to make as followers of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about where you fall in those categories. More importantly, where you hope to end up. Thank you. Said he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rises up against himself, he be divided, and he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sin shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. A spirit's going to be with you. Make no mistake about that. A spirit is going to be with you. If you reject that spirit, that revealment that tells you that Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, if you reject that, make no mistake, there will be another spirit to take its place. That is why, if you cast it out, damnation shall be a result. That's one phase. We can reject it, this revelation. And that is the direct result. Another thing you can do with this revelation is you can ignore it. You can ignore it. I was going to say I could have ignored that revelation I had up in front when I read from the Book of Mormon, but I couldn't have ignored that. But it's possible just to ignore that spirit. Don't pay any attention until it passes. And if you do that, it'll pass. It'll pass. I've ignored things like that. I've ignored opportunities. And I have suffered from it. Not only I have suffered from it, others have suffered from it. We can ignore the revelations of God, and there are consequences. Every time there is a consequence. I want to turn to John, the 10th chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood it. Understood not what the things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man entereth, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. If we or you or whomever choose to ignore Jesus Christ when he knocks, when he sends that revealment, we will suffer consequences. You will. I'm here to testify of that. Not only you. But others. I didn't plan this. I think I'm going to get personal. A personal thing that happened to me, and it was me ignoring. And it was probably, no, it wasn't probably, it was this. I can look back at this particular event and say it was one of the saddest things I have ever done in my life. And it happened with one of my children. It happened on one of my children at a particular church outing. And this particular son, has to be a son, that's all I've got, came to me, and he happened to be about 8, 9, maybe 10 years old. And the Spirit had spoken to him. in the evening at a service, and he was overcome with that particular spirit, and he came to Dad for advice. And I gave him horrible advice. I didn't act. I was frightened. I told him to wait. Worst decision I ever made in my life. It hurt me. spiritually. It hurt me physically. And it hurt my son for a long period of time. I ignored that spirit. It will harm you. I want to turn another thing. You can accept that spirit. You can receive that spirit. And you can let it go there and not allow that same spirit to convert you. You can do that. That's a possibility. I'm gonna name you approximately five things you can do when that revelation comes to you. And this is one of them. You can accept that revelation and not allow the spirit to convert you. I hope this doesn't sound like double talk or sound strange, but this is a possibility. This is a very real possibility. There are many religious philosophies in the world, and this is one of the biggest differences, I believe, in the Church of Christ and a lot of churches of the world. We believe that you can accept that revelation that Jesus is the Christ and still not be converted. Yes, it's a real possibility. And it goes at odds with some of the religious beliefs in the world. But I want to turn to Luke, the 22nd chapter. Starting with the 20th verse. 22nd chapter of Luke, starting with the 20th verse. Likewise also the cup after supper, pardon me, I'm going to start with the 19th. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, this is my body which is given to you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament, my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves, them being his disciples, his chosen, which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, The cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Yes, it is possible. Yes, Peter received that revelation that Jesus was the Christ. Peter walked with Jesus Christ for I don't know how long. A couple years, 2 years, 3 years. I don't know how long. He saw all these marvelous things that the Lord was doing, and yet he was not converted. Yet he was not converted. There is a conversion to your soul that needs to take place after baptism, and it is an ongoing thing. It doesn't stop. Have you been converted? Ask yourself that. Are you really ready to be a servant? And not just of Christ, but of me. Are you ready to be my servant? Are you ready to be Jim Gordon's servant? Or whomever? Let me rephrase this. Are you ready to wash my feet? Are you ready to wash my feet? Christ is ready to wash my feet. But are you? Are you above that? Are you above that? That's what it is to be converted. That's our ongoing process. I want you to think about that. We say King of Kings. Christ is King of Kings, yet he is ready to wash my feet. Are you? I can look out here and I can see a lot of people and I can say, yes, they are. Yes, I can. Four. You can accept that revelation and you can become indifferent to it. Over a period of time, you can become indifferent. Now, we've had, and I can remember one in particular, Jane Ann's, when she said after she was baptized and she had hands laid upon her that she was ready to go out and convert the world. She was ready to go out and do a marvelous, and she has, a marvelous work. And I dare say each and every one of you that have been baptized and had hands laid upon you felt that same feeling. But over a period of time, do you still have that feeling? Or have you become a little bit indifferent to it? Is it no longer the most important thing in your life? Is it no longer? At that time, it was the most important thing in your life. I have no doubt in my mind. Is it still the most important thing in your life? Or is it a good thing to have and to know, and then I'll go on? You know, I'm there. You know, is it really the most important thing in your life? You know, I'll work on that when it's easy, when it's convenient. I've got work. You know, I've got to work. You know, I've got to work. And you do. But is that feeling all encompassing to you? I want to turn in the Book of Mormon. I thought I was going to ignore the Book of Mormon again. I'm not going to. I want to turn to page 170 in the Book of Mormon. Starting with the 14th verse, And now behold, my brethren, this is the word which I declare unto you, that many of you have begun to search for gold and for silver and all manner of precious ores, in the which this land, which is a land of promise unto you and to your seed, doth abound most plentiful. And a land of providence has smiled upon you most pleasing, that you have obtained many riches. You know, we sang that first song. I haven't sang that song in a long time. America. When I was in grade school, we sang that lots. I mean, I don't know if they still sing that in school or not. But we sang it, and we sing it, and what is the most important thing about this land? And it has plenty of precious ores and plenty of opportunities for us to make it. But what was it founded upon? Just exactly what I'm talking about. The opportunity to serve Jesus Christ. The opportunity to worship Jesus the right way. And all these other things came to play in this land. Precious ores. The land of providence has smiled upon you most pleasingly, and that you have obtained many riches. And because that some of you have obtained more abundantly than your brethren, ye are lifted up in the pride of your hearts and wear stiff necks and high heads because of the costliness of your apparel. And persecute your brethren because that ye suppose you are better than they. And now, my brethren, do ye suppose that God justifieth you in this thing? Behold, I say unto you, nay, but he condemneth you. And if ye persist in these things, his judgments must speedily come upon you. Oh, that he would show you that he can pierce you, and with one glance of his eye, he can smite you to the dust. This is the God that we worship. And that he would rid you from this iniquity and abomination. And oh, that ye would listen unto his word, the word of his command, and let not this pride of your hearts destroy your souls. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and